24 hours of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The 1976 Democratic Convention is now history, gaveling to a close after selection of a presidential and vice presidential nominee. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Madison Square Garden is just about empty after a night filled with a roar of applause for Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale. Carter pledged to give America a government that has turned away from scandal and corruption and promised to be a president who feels your pain and shares your dreams. An audience of millions heard Carter's voice frequently soften as he spoke of the country's future.
It can be a year of inspiration and hope, and it will be a year of concern, of quiet and sober reassessment of our nation's character and purpose. A year when voters have already confounded the experts, and I guarantee you that it will be the year when we give the government of this country back to the people of this country.
Senator Walter Mondale earlier accepted the position of running mate.
I am proud to accept your nomination as your candidate for Vice President of the United States. I thank you for his confidence, and I thank you for your confidence, and I pledge to you tonight, and I pledge to all Americans that I will do everything in my power to elect Jimmy Carter the next president of the United States.
When the speeches were over, the excitement wasn't, as members of the family joined Carter and Mondale on the platform to wave and throw kisses to the adoring crowd. Power is gradually being restored in Northern Virginia, where 30,000 homes were without lights Thursday night. Northwest Washington was also affected, where senators and congressmen were reported to be listening to the convention acceptance speeches on transistor radios in the dark. Now this.
What's keeping more cars running young?
Have you heard about Quaker State Deluxe Motor Oil? It's the very cream of Quaker State, superbly refined from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil for top quality, then fortified for today's kind of driving. Use Quaker State Deluxe and you'll help avoid expensive engine repairs and keep your car running young. Quaker State Deluxe, wherever they care about cars.
Quaker State keeps cars running young.
No matter where we live, work, or play, we all have joys, fears, loves, and hates. Emotional problems any of us can have. Emotional problems that can be helped if we face up to them. Your Mental Health Association wants you to know that. They're working for you in your community, and they deserve your support. So if you need help, or if you can help, call your Mental Health Association.
16 African nations are threatening to pull out of the Montreal Olympics unless the International Olympic Committee bars New Zealand from the Games. In a letter sent to IOC President Lord Killannon, the nations condemned what they call the collaboration of the sporting authorities of New Zealand with racist South Africa, despite worldwide condemnation of such a sporting relationship. Meanwhile, the dispute between the Canadian government and Taiwan athletes wanting to compete in the Olympics, representing China, is still unresolved. The U.S. Olympic Committee has decided to stay in the Games no matter what the outcome of that dispute. Philip Crum is the president of the committee.
In view of the many aspects which had to be considered on the matter of the United States participating in the Games, we would like to announce at this time that the United States teams will participate in the 21st Olympiad here at Montreal.
An earthquake on the island of Bali Wednesday has killed up to 275 people, perhaps more, and injured 2,000. CBS News continues after this.
Ragtime, the music that swept the nation. And now, Ragtime E.L. Doctorow's astonishing bestseller is dazzling the country. It's the story of three families swept up in America's changing tempos at the turn of the century. Their lives become entwined with real people like Harry Houdini and Henry Ford. It's a novel rich in imagination and entertainment. Read Ragtime, a bantam book where paperbacks are sold. Nothing quite like Ragtime has ever been written before.
Tradition, pageantry, competition, sportsmanship, the thrill of success, the sting of defeat. They're all rolled up into the Olympics. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim Kelly, CBS Radio Sports. And when the 1976 Summer Olympics get underway in Montreal on July the 17th, I'll be there with regular daily coverage over most of these same stations. And, of course, we'll bring you special reports on each day's competition, plus additional reports in regular CBS Radio Sports broadcasts. Follow the excitement of the Summer Olympics with radio right here over the CBS Radio Network.
If you purchased a 1975 fuel-injected Opel, be advised the General Motors Buick division has issued a recall to correct a defect which could result in the throttle sticking in an open position. Company officials say if you own one of the 19,000 they want back and experience trouble with the throttle, simply turn the ignition off. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, and the time is 10:06.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The word motivation, from motive, simply means to impel or to excite. Most of us don't give much thought to what causes us to do this or that. We work to subsist. We love someone, so we're motivated to be attractive. Sometimes we are even impelled or excited by a motive. The strong desire to become a star or to become a doctor to cure a disease. Praiseworthy motives. But revenge, greed, lust are also motives. Selfish motives. And all three are in Ruth Ordway's mind as she angrily paces the living room of a luxurious condominium in Sarasota.
And now my husband's accused me of stealing his target pistol. Oh, I wish I had. I wish the old creep was dead. Why did I ever marry him?
Because, darling Ruth, he's got a ton of money and you're a doll with the kind of face and figure that drives a guy up the wall. So he files for divorce, so what? You've got me.
A beach bum? No, thanks, Tony. You're a dear, but without my husband's money, no way. With it, well, who knows?
So, you wish he was dead? Huh? Money can make wishes come true.
Our mystery drama, The Last Trip of Charterboat Sally, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Terry Keane and Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Do you have a taste for things that are a little out of the ordinary?
Look, Doris, it has a clock in its stomach and it glows in the dark.
I think we should snap it up, Dick.
Do you like things that are fun but are also functional?
Look, Dick, this is fun.
Uh-huh, but is it functional, Doris?
Do you want to be the talk of the town?
Oh, Dick and Doris, we were just talking about you.
Then the Opel Isuzu is your kind of car. It's not ordinary, it's fun but functional, and people will talk about it.
Did you hear what Dick and Doris bought?
The Opel Isuzu, a dandy new small car at your Buick Opel dealers.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Hey, are you the country doctor?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the United States of America, and I need help.
Okay. What do you want me to help you on?
Well, I've got 200 years of growing pains and 200 million people.
Where do you hurt the most?
In my heart, because that's where those 200 million people live. Do you understand that?
Yeah, because you're the United States of America.
Then what's wrong with me, doctor?
Well, maybe it's because all the bad people in your heart is what makes you sick.
Gee, that sounds serious.
Yeah, because if your heart doesn't work, then nothing works.
Well, how do I cure the bad people in my heart?
Well, you could tell them to be good to each other and to love each other. And then maybe you'll feel much better.
Well, God bless America. Please.
From the Franciscans, with love.
Some marriages may be made in heaven, but others, for instance, those between older widowers and appraising divorcees in their mid-30s, sometimes appear to be calculated practical arrangements. He acquires a glamorous companion, and she rises to a position far removed, say, from her job as hostess in a restaurant or as a part-time artist's model. Then what? After the honeymoon, they become acquainted. She finds him dull. He finds her childish. And so it is with Ruth and Cecil Ordway, who spend the winter in Sarasota. Cecil Ordway is on his way to join a fishing party on Captain Hodges' charter boat, Sally. Captain Hodges is topside awaiting his fishing party when he spots a stranger.
Hey, what you doing on my boat?
Looking it over, Captain. Anything wrong with that?
Yeah, everything. You're Tony Rose, ain't you? You know how I feel about you. Now get your tail off here. Go on.
Isn't this old tub for charter?
Don't make me laugh. It's for charter, for money. That leaves you out. And even if you had, I wouldn't take you out. Now move. I got a party coming aboard in half an hour.
Oh, yeah? Ordway's party?
Mr. Ordway and two of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He bumps into you, there'll be trouble. It's pretty handy with that target pistol of his. I wouldn't blame him none if he slugged you one of these days.
His wife wouldn't like that.
I don't know the wife, but I'll be darned if I know what any woman sees in a bum like you. Now, go on, get going. How'd you know I was taking out Ordway? She tell you?
Sure. She hopes the old tub is seaworthy. She'd feel just awful if it sank.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you had in mind, sneaking around? Now, show off. Here comes Mr. Perkins.
Oh, so it is. A stiff. Ordway's office boy.
Number two man in Mr. Ordway's company sure ain't no office boy. Off my boat.
Afternoon, Captain Hodges.
Oh, welcome aboard, Mr. Perkins.
Am I interrupting anything?
No, nothing at all. He's leaving.
Haven't I seen you someplace before?
Yeah, sure, with Mrs. Ordway. I'm a friend of hers.
Oh, yes, of course. You were the beach boy.
Mr. Ordway and Mr. Gates ought to be right along. We'll sail at 4. So long, Tony.
Hey, do Mrs. Ordway a favor. Shove the old creep overboard.
Wow.
You might have rung the bell.
Yeah. The door was open.
I'll get my robe. And stop staring at me.
And Ordway wants a divorce. Well, he has got to be crazy.
Well, what happened?
I looked at the Sally. Captain Hodges came along. We swapped insults. And that stiff Perkins came aboard, called me a beach boy.
Aren't you?
Here's the way he said it. You like him, don't you?
I do.
He's stuck up, kind of fancy.
He's a gentleman and very good looking. Also, he's important, a big man in business. What else happened?
Nothing. Your husband and some other guy went aboard and Sally cast off. I watched for a few minutes, then came back to see you.
Is that all?
I've got this idea.
What is it?
It's better you don't know. You said you wished your husband dead. He's divorcing you and naming me, right?
He wants a divorce, yes.
And he cuts you off without a cent.
Unless something happens to him before the papers are finalized.
Well, maybe something will. But I'll need some money.
How much?
$2,500.
That much? What for?
I need that much, that's all. And you'd better get it for me in cash.
Are you planning to do something to the Sally?
Maybe. Listen, I owe Captain Hodges one. He's given me a bad reputation. Just give me the money and buy a black dress.
Lieutenant Phillips. Yeah. What's that? A mile off K. Marco. Yeah. Why are you calling in the detective division? I see. $2,000, huh? A target pistol? Yeah. That strikes me as funny, too. All right, look, Frank Engel and I will look into it. We're on our way.
Yes, Mike. What's up?
Plenty. Charter boat Sally blew up an hour ago, a mile off K. Marco.
No. That's Captain Hodges' old boat.
That's right. Coast Guard's at the spot waiting for the salvage ship. They'll try to raise her tonight. Two men might still be aboard, a Cecil Ordway and a Fred Gates.
What about Captain Hodges?
Yeah, he's alive. So's another man, a Mr. Perkins. They got ashore in the dinghy.
I'm sorry to hear about the Sally. Glenn Hodges is an old friend. That boat was all he had. Who wants us to investigate?
Coast Guard.
Why?
Seems a wad of money was found in a tackle box in the dinghy, almost $2,000.
Whose is it?
That's what we're going to find out. They asked Captain Hodges about it. He says he knows nothing.
That sounds fishy. Of course, the Sally's pretty old. Sometimes they do blow up.
That's right, but what about the money, Frank? They also found a .22-caliber target pistol under the money with two shots discharged.
What? I don't connect it up.
Neither do I. According to the Coast Guard, Ordway and his friends went fishing regularly with Captain Hodges. Always late in the afternoon. Apparently it was just an excuse to get away, you know, float around, pull in the lines at 6 o'clock, have a few drinks, supper, play some cards.
Well, that could explain the money.
How? Unless the men gambled on deck, which I doubt, the money would have gone down with the boat.
Oh, yeah. Did the Sally just blow up?
Good question, Frank. We won't know until the boat's been raised and gone over, and that won't be till tomorrow.
Well, if it didn't just blow up, somebody blew her up.
That's right.
Captain Hodges?
Would he sabotage his own boat?
No, I can't believe it. He loved that boat.
It was probably fully insured.
That's a point. So is the dough in the tackle box. Maybe it is the gambling money.
Maybe the target pistol belongs to the captain. Put them together and you see where we come out.
Yeah, murder and sabotage. I just can't believe it.
All right. Let's go have a talk with Captain Hodges at the hospital.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant. Frank? How are you, boy?
How are you feeling, Captain?
It's terrible. A little banged up, but that's not why. Some nice man and the Sally. Mr. Ordway is a sure-fine man, and so is Mr. Gates, not Mr. Perkins. He rowed me back to shore.
Mm-hmm.
The others, shock scum, probably. It was terrible.
You want to tell us what happened, Captain?
I'll do the best I can, Lieutenant. I was on deck. The sea was calm. The sky was soft blue. I thought I'd go below to see if Mr. Ordway wanted anything. More ice, maybe more beer, you know.
Mm-hmm. What were they doing below?
Playing poker.
I see. Go on.
All of a sudden, there was a terrific explosion. I almost was blown overboard, but I held on to the wheel, and then Sally began to list to starboard. I rushed to the galley steps and met Mr. Perkins, who was coming up on deck. He said, "Let's get out of here, Captain."
What'd you do?
Oh, what any captain would do. I ran down to the galley where they'd been playing cards. Water was coming in a mile a minute.
Now, where were Ordway and Gates?
On the floor, covered with water. Dead, I guess. Explosion killed them.
Uh-huh. What'd you do then?
I tried to reach them. Next thing I knew, half the Gulf of Mexico come through the hole in the hull, and I was up to my neck in it.
Surprised you weren't drowned.
I thought I was. Sally listed something awful and began to sink. I dove through the hole in her side and somehow come to the surface. And there was another explosion, and she sank. I was sure I was a goner. Then I heard Mr. Perkins yelling.
He rescued you in the dinghy, hmm?
Yeah, that's right. I owe my life to him.
Mm. Let me ask you something, Captain. Do you keep a tackle box in the dinghy?
A tackle box? What for? You don't fish from a dinghy.
They found your tackle box in the dinghy, Captain.
What? That don't make sense, Lieutenant.
They found some other things, too.
Like what?
Almost $2,000 in cash.
Huh? Well, whose? I don't have $200 to my name. Now, what you saying? My tackle box in the dinghy had cash money in it? Well, who put it there?
That's what we'd like to know.
Hey, now, what are you driving at?
Captain, do you own a .22 caliber target pistol?
Well, sure. You get a really big fish, sometimes you have to shoot him.
I see. You consider Mr. Ordway a big fish?
Huh? Mr. Ordway?
A pistol was found with that money, Captain, and it had been fired twice.
Well, I ain't used my gun in weeks.
Anybody else have one?
Mr. Ordway? We'd set out a small cork buoy once in a while, and he'd take pot shots at it, but... oh, not this trip. I'll be damned. Tony Rose.
Who?
That beach bum was always hanging around Mrs. Ordway. I caught him sneaking around aboard Sally half an hour before we set sail. Dirty little... he must have come down to sabotage the boat.
Why would he want to do that?
Mr. Ordway was suing his wife for divorce, naming that bum as correspondent. If he kills Ordway, she inherits the money and gets Tony. He did it. Just a kind of rotten trick he think of.
But what about the money, Captain? Could he have planted that?
I don't see how. He doesn't have a dime.
Mm-hmm. And the pistol with the two shots fired from it?
I can't explain that, Lieutenant.
Well, neither can we as yet. The ballistics experts will tell us all about the gun, and if the bodies of Ordway and Gates are recovered, we might be ready to issue a charge.
Hey, you suspect they were shot before the boat blew up?
That's possible. Better review your story, Captain.
I've told you the truth.
Well, I hope so, for your sake. Because if the gun is yours, and if its bullets killed Ordway and Gates, you face a charge of first-degree murder.
Circumstantial evidence has convicted many accused persons. We seem to have such a situation here. Because of greed, Ruth Ordway wished her husband dead, and Tony Rose seemed willing to make her wish come true. But greed also could have motivated Captain Hodges. His boat was insured. Money was found in his tackle box. So was a target pistol with two bullets discharged. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
One of the most frustrating problems you might face when making home repairs is discovering you lack the one tool you need to finish the job. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you True Value Hardware Stores can help you solve that problem. They offer two useful tool sets for less than $3 each. The TrueTest 7-piece screwdriver set is just $2.75. You get 7 screwdrivers in various sizes with both regular and Phillips tips, including the 14-inch two-fister with a 6-inch double handle and heavy-duty blade. True Value Hardware Stores offer the TrueTest 7-piece saber saw blade assortment for just $2.25. It includes blades for wood, metal, and for cutting scrolls, and grades from fine to coarse cut. The TrueTest 7-piece screwdriver set, just $2.75, and the TrueTest 7-piece saber saw blade assortment, just $2.25. Get them at participating True Value Hardware Stores. True Value, more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. Tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Are you giving your children all the attention they deserve? Naturally, we all wish we had more time for our families. This is Susan Strasberg for the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. And as a mother, I think the health and safety of our children's eyesight is one thing we can't afford to neglect. Potentially dangerous toys shouldn't find their way into children's unsupervised playtime, and hazardous household items should be kept well out of reach. 90% of all eye accidents that occur to children are preventable. 2/3 of these accidents occur during play or sport, and most of these children are unsupervised. If that happens, then parents are obviously not doing their job. We must teach our children how to play safely and safeguard their vision. For free information on children's eye safety, write Prevent Blindness, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019. The address again, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019.
Motivation is the key word for Lieutenant Mike Phillips, and here, motivation seems to be greed. Of course, he may be a little ahead of himself. We won't know until the Sally is raised and examined whether it just blew up from old age or was sabotaged. And it's wrong to reach a conclusion without having the facts. One fact is certain, however. Mr. Ordway is dead and probably at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Lieutenant Phillips calls on his wife at 10 o'clock.
Mrs. Ordway, Lieutenant Phillips, Detective Division.
Come in. What are you detecting?
You mean you haven't heard? It must have been on the news.
Well, heard what? I've been out to dinner.
The charter boat Sally blew up in the Gulf and sank.
Oh, good Lord. My husband.
You knew he was aboard.
So soon. So sudden. Where is he?
The Coast Guard is raising the boat. He may still be on board.
Or he may be at the bottom of the Gulf.
Miss Ordway, I know this is a very poor time to ask any questions.
No, no, it's your job. Please sit down.
Thank you. Captain Hodges and Mr. Perkins managed to get to shore.
Oh, I'm so glad. What happened?
Well, we don't know yet. There was an explosion and the boat sank. It was an old boat, you know.
Yes, I know. My husband preferred it to his own yacht. I don't know why. He went fishing with Captain Hodges several times a week.
He's an avid fisherman.
Well, it wasn't so much the fishing. He and his friends fished a little, but they just liked to, you know, float along, have supper, drinks, and gamble. My husband was a poker nut, and he liked Hodges and his old tub.
He did like Hodges, hmm?
Oh, sure. Hodges amused him. What did he call him? A salty old tightwad.
How about Tony Rose?
Tony who?
Tony Rose. I understand he's a close friend of yours.
How dare you? My husband drowned and you come here and insinuate about me and that beach bum? I had to throw you out.
We understand your husband had filed for divorce and was naming Tony Rose.
That's what you understand? Well, you understand wrong.
Then I apologize, Mrs. Ordway. But Tony Rose was seen around Hodges' boat half an hour before she cast off.
So what?
Look, I'm sorry to upset you. I really came to tell you what had happened, to find out if your husband owned a .22 target pistol.
A gun? How would I know if he had a gun? What's a gun got to do with him dead by drowning?
We just like to check up on things like that.
Okay. You've checked up. Now check out.
Ruth.
Oh, Cal, I'm so glad you weren't killed.
You heard what happened?
Yeah, some cop told me. I know it's late, almost 11, but I just had to see you. And poor old Captain Hodges, I'm so glad he escaped.
Don't waste any sympathy on Hodges.
But I'm sorry for him. He lost all he's got, his boat.
He didn't lose anything. He blew her up.
What?
Sure. The temptation was too big for him.
You've lost me, Cal.
Yeah. We've been going fishing with Hodges for a long time. He's seen the money we gamble with on the table sometimes, thousands of dollars. What do you suppose he thinks about standing on deck at the wheel?
He sabotaged the Sally for the gambling money?
And the insurance. Well, the Sally was an old tub. What better way to get a new boat?
You know he blew her up?
Yeah. I saw him shove money into the tackle box under the seat of the dinghy.
The gambling money?
Well, that's what it had to be.
What happened?
Well, just before 8 o'clock, I went up on deck for some fresh air. Hodges went down the hatch through the galley to the cabin where we'd been playing poker. There was a terrific explosion. A blast knocked me overboard. I swam to the dinghy and dragged myself into it. The next thing I knew, I heard Hodges yelling for help.
Explain again about the money.
Well, we just lay there in the dinghy for a few minutes, exhausted. I saw him reach into his jacket pocket. He was flat on his stomach, and shove a wad of bills into the tackle box.
Didn't you say anything to him?
No. Well, I was afraid to, because he had planned to kill all three of us. If I hadn't been on deck when the boat blew up, I'd be dead, too.
Oh, Cal. I never thought Captain Hodges would do a thing like that.
Neither did I. In a way, I'm sorry for him. But I'll have to tell the police what I saw. They probably know it already.
Yes, they don't think the boat just blew up. Are you really all right, Cal?
Oh, sure. All I need is a good night's sleep.
Yeah?
Police.
Hey, what do you want? It's only 7 in the morning.
You want to talk with us in the hallway?
Okay, come in. Well, what do you want? I'm still half asleep.
Well, this ought to wake you up. We want to see you at headquarters.
What for?
You'll find out.
You got a warrant? Is this a pinch?
Put on some clothes and don't give us a hard time.
Yeah, well, why not? What right...
Tony, what were you doing sneaking around Clint Hodges' Sally at 3:30 yesterday afternoon?
Sneaking? I was looking over the old tub.
What for?
It's a charter boat. The old Pelican takes people fishing. Anything wrong with looking her over?
No, not a thing. Unless at the same time you were able to stow some nitro and a timer in her hull.
Huh?
Sally blew up.
Last night?
That's right. Killing Mr. Ordway and...
Hey, how about that?
You were rather friendly with Mrs. Ordway, weren't you?
Yeah.
Ordway fired you because you couldn't keep your eyes off her, didn't he?
Man, what is this all about? You want to see my scrapbook and read my diary?
You had a long talk yesterday afternoon with Dan at his gun and tackle shop.
Well, why not? He's a pal of mine.
He knows about nitro and explosive caps and timing devices, doesn't he?
Well, sure, he's not running a pet shop.
So we put two and two together.
What two and which two?
Ordway fires you. He's suing his wife for divorce. She's still seeing you. If Ordway gets his divorce, she's left flat broke. But what if he dies? She's got the money and maybe you've got her. That's the two and two.
And I blew up the Sally, huh? Me, huh? If anybody blew up the old crate, it was Captain Hodges.
He accuses you.
Well, he would. Why would I blow her up?
For money. Ordway's dead. Don't tell me you won't benefit, Tony. You didn't ask Dan all those questions just to pass the time of day. You had a reason. You always have. We're not finished with you yet.
Tony, what are you doing here at breakfast time? You shouldn't be here. It's dangerous.
Now, the cops went over me about an hour ago. I thought we'd better talk. You, know what's happened.
Yes. You're a much cleverer young man than I gave you credit for. Where did you raise the money?
The money?
The $2,000 and change they found in Captain Hodges' tackle box in the dinghy.
Oh, that.
What's wrong with you, Tony? I had a wish and you made it come true. I'll return the $2,000 or so today and another $5,000 for doing what you did.
Hey, thanks, Dom.
How did you do it?
It's better you don't know. It's done. Huh? How did you find out about the dough?
Cal told me.
Perkins? He knew about it?
He saw Hodges take it out of his pocket and shove it into the tackle box.
Oh, I see. And where did Hodges get the money?
Well, according to Cal, from the table where the men were playing poker. I know how the money got into the tackle box, and so do you. You put it there.
Did Perkins know about what you had in mind?
Oh, Lord, no. There wasn't any love lost between him and my husband, but Cal wouldn't hurt a fly.
Well, why would he say he saw Hodges put the money into the tackle box?
Search me.
It doesn't make sense. How could Hodges hide the money when it was already there? Hey, Donald, is Cal Perkins covering for us? Are you sure you never told him you wanted to get rid of Ordway?
No. I think what happened was he saw Hodges fooling around in the tackle box and saw the money and just assumed Hodges had grabbed it from the poker game.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's good enough to convict Hodges. Was he banged up?
Worse than Cal Perkins, I guess. He almost drowned.
The cops made some cracks about you and me.
Who cares?
They think you may have put me up to it.
Well, they won't think so for long. It's up to Captain Hodges to explain that money, and Cal will swear he saw Hodges hide it. I'll have the money for you this afternoon.
No rush. Wait till this all dies down. I'll take the money when they arrest the old pelican and put him in the can.
Sorry to trouble you again, Captain Hodges. We've just spoken to Cal Perkins.
A good man. Saved my life.
I'm not so sure.
What do you mean?
Perkins tells a different story. He said the money in your tackle box was money from the gambling table. That you grabbed it and shoved it into the tackle box.
What? Why, that's downright lie. Gambling money? How in tarnation did I get my hands on that gambling money? When the boat blew, I was on the galley steps, and the next thing I knew, I was up to my neck in water.
So you can't explain the money or the gun?
I can't even tell you how the tackle box got into the dinghy. Unless Tony Rose put it there. Well, you both got my head spinning like a top, but I never stole a cent in my life, and Lord knows I'd never blow up Sally. She was my home, my life.
Captain, where were Ordway and Gates when you went down the steps just before the explosion?
Sprawled on the floor.
Before the explosion?
Let me see. Mr. Ordway was slumped sideways in his chair. And Mr. Gates, I think he was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been drinking heavy. When the boat blew, Mr. Ordway was thrown on the underside of the table. Well, maybe they'd passed out.
No, Captain. They were shot. When the Coast Guard raised your boat late last night, they found Ordway's body with a bullet in it. Ballistics is checking it against your target pistol.
Oh, it's my gun.
That's right. And two shots have been fired from it.
But I told you I haven't used that gun in weeks.
Tony Rose could have swiped the gun, fired two shots from it, and planted it and the money in the tackle box, except for one important point. Unless Tony Rose was aboard the Sally, how could he have murdered Ordway?
You mean I shot those men and stole the money?
Cal Perkins will swear that you put the money in the tackle box.
Yeah, but the gun and the two shots...
We're checking the bullet to find out if it did come from your gun, Captain. And if it did...
Yeah. I almost wish I'd gone to the bottom of the gulf with old Sally.
Either Captain Hodges is a very convincing liar, or he faces life imprisonment for murder. Temptation was placed in his way. Is he guilty? Is Tony Rose at least guilty of blowing up the boat? We know that he couldn't have shot Ordway, but he might have sabotaged the Sally. As Lieutenant Phillips said, the police aren't finished with Tony Rose. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
There's a season
canning season coming up, remember this. The Miromatic aluminum pressure canner lets you can all kinds of food safely. And the Miromatic pressure canner is the only one that comes in seven sizes, from 2.5 to 22 quart. One is right for your family. And only the Miromatic pressure canner has an unbreakable one-piece control with three pressure settings. So the Miromatic you use for canning is also a versatile pressure cooker. Use it year-round to make tasty meals in one-third the time of conventional methods. A Miromatic cooker canner to get ready for a better taste of life.
Miromatic helps you do it right.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus. Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Last night at 8 o'clock, the charter boat Sally exploded a mile off Cay Marco near Sarasota. The Coast Guard has determined that the boat had been sabotaged. The story in the newspapers makes it clear that Captain Hodges destroyed his own boat. Worse, he is suspected of killing two men to steal their gambling money. It's late in the afternoon of the next day, and Lieutenant Mike Phillips and Frank Engel are puzzling over the case.
Where are we, Mike?
All depends on the bullet, Frank. If it was fired from Captain Hodges' pistol, I'm afraid he's had it.
I can't believe he'd do such a thing.
Well, look, you know, he's nickel and dimed all his life. You have a lot of time to think when you're floating around out in the Gulf, see all these rich guys day after day, gambling for more money than you make in a whole season, chartering trips. You might flip out.
But he's a smart old bird. If he planned all this, would he screw it up the way he did? Why didn't he make sure Perkins was dead, too?
Too bad we can't pin it on Tony Rose, but he was ashore. He couldn't have fired those shots. What was the printout on Perkins and Gates?
Nothing there. Gates was married. Perkins got divorced years ago. He's important in Ordway's company. He'll be president now.
That's a motive.
No. Perkins already was number two man.
Well, some guys like power.
Now, Perkins is clean. He's lucky to be alive. If he planned to murder Ordway, you think he'd risk getting killed himself? Now, that money has got Clint Hodges by the throat.
Yeah, the money. Money and love and love and money.
Love? Where does love come in?
Ruth Ordway. Guys go for her. Ordway, Tony Rose, who else? There's dames like that, you know, scalp collectors. What if she had Perkins on the string?
Sure, and that Fred Gates, too. Well, come down to earth, Mike.
Lieutenant Phillips.
Yeah.
Oh, good work. It's a real break for Captain Hodges. Prepare a search warrant for me. I want to go through Ordway's apartment.
I don't see what this is going to prove, Mike. If Ordway was shot with his own gun, it's at the bottom of the Gulf.
You're probably right.
Now, what are we looking for? We'll give her another ring.
Oh, you again. What do you want?
We have a search warrant, Mrs. Ordway.
What are you searching for? And who's this?
Detective Engel.
May we come in?
I suppose so. What is this all about?
It seems that the charter boat Sally didn't just blow up. It was sabotaged. And before the explosion, someone shot and killed your husband.
What? That's impossible. How could he have been shot?
His body has been recovered, and we have the bullet.
You mean Hodges shot him and grabbed the money before he blew up the boat?
Money? What money is that, Mrs.
The money
Ordway?
From the gambling table, of course. What do you mean, what money?
money from the gambling table?
Don't act so stupid. The 2,000 or so you found in the tackle box. You must have talked with Cal, Mr. Perkins. Didn't he tell you?
Oh, that money.
Cal saw Hodges put it there. That's why he knows that Hodges sabotaged his own boat.
That's more than we know.
What? Well, was there money in the tackle box?
Sure.
But it wasn't money taken from the gambling table.
It wasn't. Well, then where did it come from?
We have some ideas about that.
We haven't finished yet with Tony Rose.
How do you know the money wasn't the gambling money?
We know. Let's just leave it at that. Why do you ask, Mrs. Ordway?
Because where else could it have come from?
Well, we think Tony might have an idea.
Tony hasn't got a cent.
But you have.
Are you insinuating? Oh, no. That crack doesn't deserve. What are you here for?
To look around. You can get to work, Frank.
What's that box he's carrying?
A fingerprinting kit.
Which was your husband's room, Mrs. Ordway? I assume he had a room of his own.
We had connecting rooms, smart guy.
Okay.
What is all this about fingerprints?
A .22 target pistol was found with the money. Two shots had been fired. The gun belongs to Captain Hodges.
Well, what more do you want?
The bullet taken out of your husband was fired from another pistol, probably his own. Now, I asked you last night if your husband owned a gun.
And I told you I didn't know.
So you told me, but he did have one. Captain Hodges said so. Your husband liked to take pot shots at a small buoy from the boat.
You think he shot himself?
No. Someone shot him. Hodges also told us that your husband's gun was missing. I doubt if he lost it. Somebody stole it, and maybe that somebody left his identification behind.
And where's the gun now? You haven't got it, have you? It's at the bottom of the Gulf.
Maybe.
Then you'll never be able to prove who shot him.
Don't be too sure, Mrs. Ordway. There's other evidence from which you can make our deductions. I think I know what happened aboard the Sally. Now it's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Captain Hodges, I've got good news for you. The bullet that killed Ordway was not fired by your gun.
Oh, well, now, that's relief. Thank the good Lord. Whose gun fired the shot?
We think it was Ordway's.
You got it?
No, it's gone, and for good. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone used your .22 recently?
I don't think so. They'd ask. Unless it was snitched.
Well, somebody took your gun and fired two shots from it and tried to frame you for murder.
That no good beach bum Tony Rose.
Nope. He was on shore. If only we could recover Ordway's gun, we'd have an airtight case.
Who murdered Mr. Ordway, Lieutenant? Same bum who blew up my boat?
That's right, Captain. The same bum. Good work, Frank. Good work. That's what they took pot shots at, huh?
Yeah, a cork buoy full of target bullets. Some are from Hodges' gun, but there are a bunch that match the bullet they dug out of Ordway.
So even without the gun, we can match the bullets and say that Ordway was killed with his own gun. Good, Frank. Very good.
And you were right about money and love and money, or whatever it was you said. Those bullets and the stuff we found in the apartment will send him to the chair.
Ordway wasn't fooled about Tony Rose for a minute. He knew Rose wasn't the guy after his wife. What are we waiting for?
Yeah. Let's make the arrest.
Hi, babe. You got the money for me? Bank closed at 3.
Oh, I've got something for you, you chiseling bum, but it isn't money.
Hey, cool it. What's this about?
You didn't blow up the Sally.
Well, of course I didn't. Have you gone bananas? Captain Hodges blew up his old tub. Isn't that our story? And isn't it worth the $2,500 plus the $5,000 bonus?
You're a real dandy, Tony. You're still trying to con me.
Oh, come on. You had a wish. I made it come true. Your husband's dead and Hodges gets life or goes to the chair. Happy ending for you and me. What's the matter? You gone soft about Hodges?
My husband wasn't killed in the explosion.
Come again?
He was shot and killed with his own gun, and then the boat blew up.
Who says so? The cops?
And they think they can prove it. They were here an hour ago with a search warrant. You know what else they said? The money found in the tackle box wasn't the gambling money.
Well, of course it wasn't. I put it there.
That's another lie. It was about 2,000, not 2,500. Where did you get 2 grand? And what did you really do? Nothing. You sneaked around the boat, but you didn't plant the money or hide the pistol. You didn't do anything. But this morning you were taking credit for all of it, and now you've got your hand out for $7,500. Get lost.
$7,000. That isn't much for my silence, doll.
You're what?
The cops know about me talking with Dan at the gunshot. What happens to you if they force me to tell them why I asked all those questions about nitro and caps?
You would tell the cops I offered you money to kill my husband?
Didn't you?
You rotten lie.
Maybe I planned it and didn't shoot your husband. If Clint Hodges didn't, who did? You know. And so do I.
I don't.
Sure you do. Funny, isn't it? You and I planned to kill your husband at the same time your friend planned the same thing. Don't forget the money, babe. See you around.
Mr. Perkins, you're under arrest.
I'm what, Lieutenant?
Anything that you say will be held against you.
Under arrest?
You're charged with shooting Ordway and blowing up Captain Hodges' boat, the Sally.
You must be out of your minds. This is outrageous.
What you did was outrageous. Killing two men and destroying the old captain's means of livelihood. And you almost got away with it.
I won't listen to any more of this. Get out of my room or I'll ring for the nurse and she'll throw you out.
When you planted that money in the tackle box, why didn't you soak it first?
What are you talking about?
You said Hodges took the money out of his pocket and shoved it into the tackle box. Hodges was soaking wet. The money should have been, too, but it was dry.
And what about the bullet we dug out of Ordway?
He's at the bottom of the Gulf.
You wish.
The Coast Guard recovered Ordway's body. The bullet that killed him came from his own target pistol, which you stole from his bedroom.
His gun case had some good fingerprints on it, Mr. Perkins. Yours. Under the case, we found some correspondence. The letters begin, "Dearest Ruth."
And you... you read them?
We're dealing with murder. You loved Ordway's wife, and you wanted his job as president of the company.
I'll talk to you through my lawyer.
All right, but we know what happened. You went below when you came aboard the Sally. That's when you planted the explosive and the timing device. Sometime earlier, you'd stolen Captain Hodges' pistol and fired two shots. You planted his gun and the money in the tackle box in the dinghy, maybe the night before.
You'd also stolen Ordway's pistol. You were below. Just before the boat was supposed to blow up, you shot Ordway and Gates and rushed up on deck.
Captain Hodges went below and the explosion occurred. He escapes through the hole in the side of the hull and comes to the surface.
You rescue him in the dinghy and row the two of you ashore.
Why didn't you leave him to the sharks, Mr. Perkins?
I don't know. I planned to have all three die, but when I was floating around in the water, I realized if only I survived, I might be suspected.
Because of the divorce suit by Ordway naming you?
So you know that, too.
Mm-hmm. Was Tony Rose involved in this scheme?
Tony? Oh, good heavens, no. I used him as a decoy.
Wonder why Tony spent yesterday afternoon in Dan's gun shop asking questions about explosives.
He what? My Lord.
Meaning you think what we think. Tony was planning his own sabotage of the ship.
With Mrs. Ordway's money.
Leave her out of this.
Looks like you just beat him to it, Mr. Perkins.
He and Ruth, they had a plan. Is that what you think?
Could be. I think we should go down to headquarters.
You can't prove I shot Ordway.
I think we can.
I hurled his gun into the Gulf.
The bullet in Ordway's body proves it came from his gun.
Well, but you can't prove that without the gun.
Yes, we can. Matching bullets were taken out of a cork buoy that he used to shoot at for target practice. And you know the rest. Fingerprints, love letters. You loved Ordway's wife and you wanted his job. Those were your motives.
So, Ruth and that beach boy...
Was he more than just a decoy, Mr. Perkins?
I often wondered.
You're going to have a lot of time to think that over.
For lack of a shoe, a horse is lost, and so on. If Ordway's body had not been found, the circumstantial evidence against Captain Hodges might have convicted him. But if is a big word. Greed, ambition, and infatuation. Those were the motivating words in this tragic story. The plan was an ingenious one, but the person who plans a murder nearly always makes a slip. And so Mr. Perkins was caught. I'll be back shortly.
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories. Relieves pain and itch. Helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
Ragtime, the music that swept the nation. And now, Ragtime, E.L. Doctorow's astonishing bestseller, is dazzling the country. It's the story of three families swept up in America's changing tempos at the turn of the century. Their lives become entwined with real people like Harry Houdini and Henry Ford. It's a novel rich in imagination and entertainment. Read Ragtime, a bantam book where paperbacks are sold. Nothing quite like Ragtime has ever been written before.
At the Opal Isuzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opal Isuzu Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opal Isuzu.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah! I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opal Isuzu, a great new little car at your Buick Opal dealers.
Helpful hints. May I help you?
I keep my bathroom clean, but how can I prevent the mold and mildew invasion?
Retreat to the desert or spray with Lysol.
Spray the tile?
Sure. Lysol spray kills mold and mildew, prevents it from coming back. Spray surfaces with Lysol, and the enemy won't gain a foothold worth sniffing at.
I thought Lysol was just for odors after they got in the air.
Lysol spray disinfectant kills household germs on surfaces where they grow, including germs that cause odors.
So if I kill the germs, I pre-killed the odors.
That's the deadly truth.
Is destructive. Infatuation addles the mind. Ambition, within reasonable limits, is admirable, but excessive ambition, like any excess, is monstrous. As the philosopher said, ambition inflames the mind and puts it into a violent hurry of thought. Mr. Perkins was the victim of all three excesses, and he paid the price for them. Thank goodness he did. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Terry Keane, Robert Dryden, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Madison Square Garden Thursday night was a far cry from Miami Beach 1972. This time it was all according to schedule, nominations and acceptances all in prime time. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Jimmy Carter ended his long primary battle in triumph, pledging to defeat what he described as a tired, worn-out administration in November. It's a time for healing, he told a wildly cheering convention. There's a new mood in America. He said Americans are looking for new faces and new leaders. Preceding Carter, the man who presumably learned only Thursday morning he was to be the Democratic vice presidential nominee, Walter Mondale. Mondale took a swipe at the last two GOP administrations.
Tonight, we solemnly pledge to restore a government that tells the truth and obeys the law. Roosevelt once said that the presidency is preeminently a place of moral leadership. But we have just lived through the worst political scandal in American history and are now led by a president who pardoned the person who did it.
On Carter's way through the delegates to the podium, he reportedly wanted to make a slight detour to shake hands with Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, but he didn't make it. The crowd was too much. And after it was all over, all the demonstrations and all the speeches, the convention gabbled to a close pretty much on time, before midnight. There was a state dinner at the White House. We'll have that story after this.
Ah, the summertime. Time for swimming pools, barbecues, and all kinds of outdoor activities and fun. But also time for extra safety precautions. To make your summer more enjoyable, Underwriters Laboratories want you to please remember that water and electricity never mix. Water or dampness increase the possibility of a shock hazard, so avoid using electrical appliances where they might fall into a pool or wet surface. Also, refrain from using electric rotisseries or power tools where they may get wet. And never attempt to use an electric lawnmower or hedge trimmer when your grass or shrubbery is wet. And remember, outdoor extension cords are designed and tested to withstand conceivable climate conditions. So be certain the extension cord you use outdoors is labeled for outdoor use. This is summer safety information from UL and this station.
As the Democrats celebrated in New York, President Ford hosted West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt at a black tie dinner in the White House. In champagne toasts, Schmidt called for the further relaxation of East-West tensions while maintaining a strong NATO. President Ford gave his assurances of U.S. support.
I reaffirm the commitment of the United States of America to the Atlantic Alliance. America's basic policies toward Western Europe have been consistently reaffirmed by every administration for the past 25 years. They enjoy strong bipartisan support in the Congress, both in the House as well as in the Senate. Steadfast support for NATO and cooperation with all of the members of the Atlantic community are a fundamental part of United States foreign policy.
Mr. Ford travels to Connecticut over the weekend to rally support for the GOP convention in Kansas City next month. Madera County Sheriff Ed Bates in California says a search was begun Thursday night for 16 grade school pupils and a bus driver after the school bus in which they were riding was found abandoned in a dry canal. More news after this.
Wheels are ever spinning.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued a new standard for bicycle safety.
So cycle up, America. Our craftsmen are being told there's a life that is riding on every bike that's sold.
For further information, write Bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207.
In the last couple of weeks, 23 vicious meat-eating piranha fish were mistakenly delivered to some Florida pet stores. But before the error was discovered, six had been eaten by their tank mates in one store. A couple of others were identified by the store owner and thrown out. The trouble is, several piranhas apparently have been sold as docile tropical fish and are now swimming around in living room fish tanks. They were sold from stores in Tampa, Clearwater, and St. Petersburg, Florida. They could mean troubles at water-changing time. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
Community Bulletin Board, we have this item. Remember how much fun the old-time country fair used to be? It still is at the King County Fair at Enumclaw, Wednesday the 21st through Sunday the 25th. And be sure to see the free twice-daily performances of the Traveling Bicentennial Musical Review, We've Got the Spirit. Fairgrounds open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.